Happy Easter. It's good to be here. About 20 years ago, in August, I was at a football match with two of my good mates, Dave and Joe, and we found ourselves at Subiaco Oval down on the half forward line in the top of the first tier, and we were watching a game between Fremantle and St Kilda. And as we watched that game, Fremantle were in a perilous position. Fremantle were hoping to make the finals, but at that point of time in the game, it looked like they weren't going to get there. It looked like all their hopes had been dashed. It looked like all of their dreams were not going to come to fruition. They were in trouble. The clock was winding down and they were behind. Then a moment that changed everything comes into play. The ball bounces out of the forward line and Peckett gets it for St Kilda. And as he runs, Luke McFarlane chases him, grabs him, tackles him down, and it's called holding the ball. There's one more chance. Luke McFarlane gets the ball. He swings onto his right foot. He kicks it deep. Justin Longmuir rises up inside the 30-metre line. He takes the mark and the siren goes. It's electric. It's amazing. It's going to be a resurrection story. And as we wait pending there, Justin Longmuir goes back. He steers the ball through the big sticks and we go wild. I've never hugged so many people in my life. We're shouting, we're whooping, we're hollering. We have won the game. What seemed to be lost, what seemed to be dead, has now come to life. And you know, we love a good resurrection story. And a resurrection story like that makes us feel nice and gushy. But when a story like that impacts our lives, when a story like that changes our lives, it's something far bigger than a football game. The resurrection of Jesus Christ impacts our life and changes our life like nothing ever will. It's a great resurrection story. We looked down, we looked out, we looked like there was no future, and yet Christ rose again that we might have life and have it to the full. If you've got your Bible, turn with me to Matthew chapter 28, verses 1 to 10. I want to read you the story that Joe went to earlier today. And it says this in Matthew chapter 28, verses 1. After the Sabbath, at dawn on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. There was a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven and going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning and his clothes were white as snow. The guards were so afraid of him that they shook and became like dead men. The angel said to the woman, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here. He is risen, just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay, then go quickly and tell his disciples he has risen from the dead and is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him. Now I have told you." So the woman hurried away from the tomb, afraid, yes, yet filled with joy, and ran to tell his disciples. Suddenly Jesus met them. "Greetings," he said. They came to him, they clasped his feet and worshipped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee, and there they will see me." What a day. What a day. Jesus had risen. On the third day, Jesus had risen. But let's just roll back one day. Let's roll back one day. It's Saturday. The Jesus followers, the people who followed Christ, they're downcast, they're ashen, they're wondering what went wrong. Jesus came in at a triumphal entry just a week earlier. People are laying their palm leaves down, they're laying their coats down. They're crying out, "Hosanna." Hosanna being a Jewish of praise, but in Hebrew means, "Oh, save us, Lord." They're calling out, "Save us, Lord." And they come in and they think that this Jesus is going to be the one they've been waiting for. He is the Messiah. He's going to overthrow the government. He's going to overthrow all ruling powers. And he is going to rule like they're used to ruling, with power of authority and oversight. And yet here we are on Saturday, and the day before Jesus has been crucified, and now he lays in a tomb like everyone else who's purported to be something that they're not, and they're devastated. Saturday can be a dark day if you don't remember there's a third day. They forgot what was recorded in Matthew chapter 16, verse 21 through to 23, where Jesus has said, from that time on, Jesus began to explain to his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things at the hands of the elders, the chief priests, and the teachers of the law, and that he must be killed on the third day, be raised to life. They forgot about the third day. They forgot about what the prophet Hosea recorded in Hosea chapter 6, verses 2 through to 3, where he wrote, after 2 days, he will revive us. On the third day, he will restore us, that we may live in his presence. Let us acknowledge the Lord. Let us press on to acknowledge him. As surely as the sun rises, he will appear. They forgot about the third day. They forgot about the story of Jonah. Jonah in 1:17, where Jonah spent 3 days in the stomach of the fish. And how Jesus had said in Matthew chapter 12, in verse 38 through to 40, he said, then some of the Pharisees and teachers of the law said to him, teachers, we want to see a sign from you. Jesus answered, a wicked and adulterous generation asks for a sign, but none will be given except the sign of the prophet Jonah. For as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of a huge fish, so the Son of Man will be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. They forgot about Sunday. They forgot in Matthew chapter 20, verse 17 and 19, that Jesus a second time had mentioned that he would die and that he would be in the tomb and that he would rise again on the third day. They had forgotten about the third day. They'd forgotten about the third day when Jesus had said that he would rise again. You see, the third day is an important part. It's an important part all the way through the Old Testament, as the Old Testament foretold about what was going to happen. They forgot about what had been said, and they forgot about the third day, and they were living in the Saturday, not remembering what was to come on the Sunday. And the Sunday is really important. The third day, all through the Old Testament, speaks towards life and to redemption and to resurrection. In Genesis chapter 22, verse 4 and 5, we read, looked up and saw the place in the distance. He said to his servant, stay here with the donkey while I and the boy go over there. We will worship and then we will come back to you. Abraham was looking towards the direction of the promise that God had given him, the promise that there would be a generation coming behind him, generation after generation. There would be lots of descendants. And as he took Isaac, he went up onto the hill, his only son, the promise of the future that God had given him, to sacrifice him. And on the verse 13 and 18, it says, Abraham looked up, and there in a thicket he saw a ram caught by its horns. He went over and he took the ram and he sacrificed it as a burnt offering instead of his son. So Abraham called that place, the Lord will provide. And to this day it is said, on the mountain of the Lord it will be provided. The angel of the Lord called to Abraham from heaven around a second time and said, I swear by myself, declares the Lord, that because you have done this and you have not withheld your only son, I will surely bless you and make your descendants as the sand on the seashore. Your descendants will take possession of the cities of their enemies, and through your offspring all nations on earth will be blessed because you have obeyed me. On the third day, Abraham took Isaac up the hill, and God gave him a promise. In Exodus chapter 19, verses 10 to 12, on the third day, God gave his commandment. 19 verse 10 of Exodus, it says this, and the Lord said to Moses, go to the people and consecrate them, and today and tomorrow, make them wash their clothes and be ready for the third day. For the third day, because on the day of the Lord will come down on the Mount Sinai in the sight of all the people, Put limits for the people around the mountain and tell them, be careful that you do not approach the mountain or touch the foot of it. Whoever touches the mountain is to be put to death. On the third day, God gave the promise to Moses, and we get the commandments that come out of that space. Joshua, who was to go after Moses, who was actually to take the people into the promised land. On the third day, Israel crossed over the perilous water into the Jordan, entering the promised land that God had promised for them. On the third day. All through the Old Testament, on the third day, life comes, restoration comes, promise comes. That's the foretelling of what is to come on the third day. Jesus, in the New Testament, through Matthew, says, I will die, I will be buried, but I will raise again on the third day. And yet here they've forgotten what's going to happen on the third day. It's echoed all the way through the Old Testament. It's echoed all the way through what Jesus is saying. He will rise on the third day. And here they are. They're stuck in the Saturday. They've forgotten about what's going to happen on the third day. We can be stuck in the Saturday. We can be stuck in our circumstances. We can be stuck in our situations. We can feel like all hope is lost, like we've got no future. We've got nothing. But don't forget the third day. Don't forget the third day. In 2 Kings chapter 20, verse 5, King Hezekiah has a word come to him from the prophet Isaiah on the third day. And the word is around restoration and healing of life. Don't forget the third day. Don't forget the third day. Yet here we have the disciples downcast, defeated, and shaken. Yet on this third day, the one we've read about, two women, Mary Magdalene and Mary, they go up and they wait outside the tomb. Wonder if those two ladies remember the third day. There was an earthquake. We read in Greek historians, Philegion and Origen, about the earthquakes happening around those times. They speak to the historical details. Jesus, Josephus, the Jewish historian, speaks to the historical details about a Jesus who died and didn't just stay dead but rose again and appeared to the people. We hear from the Apostle Paul further on that Jesus appeared to more than 500 people. They all testify to the fact that Jesus did not stay in the tomb, but he had risen. He had risen. I love reading Paul because it says he went and showed himself to 500 people. That's a lot of people to keep in on the gag, hey? Like if I had a gag, and we said, we're going to do this thing, I'm not really going to get up, but we're all going to pretend that I didn't get up. I can't even get my own family to back up my gags. But 500 people saw him. He has risen. This is good news for us. This is exciting news for us. On the third day, he rose again, defeating death, that all that shall believe in him shall live and have life in him for eternity. Have life for eternity. I've been walking with two people that have passed away in the last month. Two people who love the Lord Jesus. You know, this eternity is not just something where we get to come into a building like this and sing some uplifting songs and have some coffee and some biscuits and meet some nice people, and when we die, it disappears. No, this eternity, Jesus dying and raising from the dead, means that we will actually walk with him into eternity, that there is no death. Death has lost its sting. That for my life in him and him in me is not just now, but it is forever, 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 forever. As far as the echo will go. That's good news. I can't even get my head around that. But this is the third day. Don't forget the third day. He took the shame on the cross. We celebrate this on Friday. He took guilt for our weak attempts to rule over our own lives. He took that on the cross. And making a way for us to dwell in the presence of God forever, wherever, and whenever. You know, before Jesus died on the cross, the only way to be in the presence of God was to go in once a year into the presence of God. Most of us know this. Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement, the high priest would go in behind the curtain. The curtain was about 4 inches, 3 inches thick. It was multi-layered. It is tapestry. It is a thick piece of cloth. It's 14 meters high. Before Jesus dies, only the high priest on the Day of Atonement goes in behind there, and they tie a bell to his leg so that if he doesn't come back out, there's no ding, 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 they can pull him back out. But when Jesus dies on the cross, when Jesus dies on that cross, it says that the cloth tore from the top. I don't know if any of you have tried to tear an old phone book. There were some guys that did those things. It's hard to tear a 10 centimeter cloth from the bottom is impossible. It tore from the top to the bottom. That those who call on the name of Jesus, that those who put their trust in Him, that those who call Him their Lord and their Savior may not just have life one day a week in the presence of God, but they might have the presence of God wherever, whenever, however, whenever they want, all day, every day. That is what happened on the cross. And then He went to the tomb. And sometimes we forget what He has given us on the cross, and we forget what He has given us on the tomb, and we live in the Saturday and we forget that the third day is coming. But what we read today and what we celebrate today is that the third day has come. He is no longer in the tomb. He is risen, and the very life and the very power that rose Jesus from the dead now dwells richly within us, and we have the resurrected power in us and amongst us. Is that good news on Easter? That is fantastic news. Don't forget the third day. Through the biblical history, the third day has been linked to renewed promise, to promised future, to restored life. And Resurrection Sunday reminds us that we have all of that. All the promises of God are yes and amen. Better is one day in your courts, Lord, than 1,000 elsewhere, it says in the Old Testament. Because of the death and resurrection of Jesus, we have 1,000 days in the courts of the Lord. Is that good? And sometimes we look at our circumstances, what we're facing here, and we think, it is no hope. On the third day, Jesus rose again. That our hope is rests in Him for eternity. Sometimes we live in a place where we're unsure about our future. We turn on the TV, we turn on the radio, we see war, we see famine, we see things going wrong. And we're unsure about what the future holds. Don't forget the third day. We're people of the third day. Sometimes we find ourselves despondent. Despondent with what has been our foundation. Wondering, what is all this been about? When you're despondent, remember that we're people of the third day. Some of us are engaged in fights and we're tired of the fight. We're tired of the struggle. We're tired of the back and forth, be it with health, be it in relationship. Remember, we're people of the third day. Whatever you're facing, whatever comes your way, remember, we don't live in the Saturday. We don't dwell in the Saturday. We live in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Does that mean that whatever you're facing and whatever you're dealing with is going to go like that? No. But it means the God who rose from the dead, who defeated shame, who defeated guilt, who defeated all those things, He dwells richly in that space with you, not left you, but you dwell in Him and Him in you, right in the midst of that space. And we are not helpless. We have the power of the resurrection dwelling in us and through us, which means we have hope, that we have joy, and we have life that comes through Him. That's why we celebrate. That's why we get excited. That's why we bite the end off the chocolate egg and go, it's empty, to remind us that we're not in a hopeless situation, to remind us that not all hope has gone, to remind us that we are not downtrodden, to remind us that we are not people who are just subject to whatever blows our way. No, we are people of the resurrection. We are people of the third day. People, don't forget the third day. On Friday, he died. On Sunday, he rose again. That's the story of Easter. And that is for you, and that is for me, and that is for anyone who cares to see that the Christ has died and rose again, that all might come to a loving relationship with him and have life in him. This Easter, celebrate. Eat like they've never eaten before. Live with joy, because today is a day of celebration. Pass that celebration on to those around you. Those in your world that don't know the joy of walking with Jesus, pass it on to them. Those who are walking in the Saturday and don't even know anything about the Sunday, pass it on to them. Could you imagine if we all knew about Sunday? It's a good thing. Let me pray for you. Heavenly Father, today, Lord, we acknowledge that we live in a real world. We acknowledge that we live in a place that's not always perfect, that's not always together. But Father, we are not subject. We are not held down by that. We are strengthened. We are encouraged. We are held by the love of Jesus and the power of his resurrection. Today, for anyone in this room, Lord, I pray who needs to be reminded about the goodness of God, that needs to know that God is in the trenches with them, that God is in the hard space with them. Father, I pray right now for whoever's saying, I'm in that space, that they would know the love of the Father, the strength of the power, the Father, and the power of the resurrection. May they sense that on this good Easter. Lord, may we be a people. May we be a people who make decisions knowing we're people of the third day, who love others like we're people of the third day, who see life like we're people of the third day, who see others like we're the people of the third day. May we be that type of people, because you gave it all that we might have life and have it to the full. In your mighty and precious name we pray. Amen. You know, we're going to sing a song and then Lance will come and wrap up. But